Hello, everyone, and welcome to Unactually Comics for May 1st, 2019.
Wow.
Yeah. I know, it was very flamboyant. I'm sorry.
No. I mean, wow, it's May 1st.
Wow, it's so late.
Also, you're...
Also, very, very...
We're channeling the spirit of Bruce Valanche.
Yes, because it is the year of the Valanche.
Year of the Valanche. We've discovered that it's official as of now. The year of the Valanche has begun.
Very great. What do you want to talk about? Do you want to talk about this Year of the Valanche
special?
Let's talk
about Year of the Valanche.
So DC released a 25-cent issue called Year of the Villain.
You can buy four for one single dollar.
Yeah, that's quite a few.
I can do math.
It's got stuff in it.
Yeah.
Tell me more. I read it. I don't really understand anything that's going on.
All right, let's talk about Year of the Valanche. It's three stories, one of which is tied into current Justice League stuff with the Legion of Doom. It has Jim Cheung art and some stuff happens. The middle part, which I found most compelling, is by Brian Michael Bendis and Alex Maleev, and it is essentially a prequel to the Event Leviathan, which I still am holding out some kind of hope that it is actually not called Event Leviathan, but it is called...
It is definitely called Event Leviathan.
Oh my God, it's so weird. I love it. I do, but it's just weird. Like,
it is weird.
What a weird title.
Yeah.
It's really bizarre. Anyway, Event Leviathan, and it's Batgirl and Green Arrow, and they're having an adventure. And then the last part is more of the Justice League stuff, with some really cool art by Francis Manapul, and that sets up the recently announced new Superman Batman versus Joker Batman, Batman Who Laughs. DC is like quadrupling down on this guy.
Holy shit.
He is the greatest villain that has ever, you know. I mean.
Yep.
That's what's happening.
They
so anyway,
all about it.
You know, great art throughout. The prequel to Event Leviathan, which looks fantastic, is in it, and other stuff with cool art is in it, and it's 25 cents.
Okay. I want to talk about something awesome.
Yeah, do it.
Batman Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, number 3.
So good.
This is so fun. The other ones have all been fun, but this one, speaking of doubling down, They really went into this whole like smashing a couple of villains from each universe together kind of thing. Anymore, and I'll be spoiling anything, but it's really it. If you like the other ones, this one is as good as that, only a lot crazier and super fun.
I really I have to say, and I don't.
I think Michelle just drew a katana. I don't know what the fuck just happened back there.
We're about to get executed. We're about to.
Michelle is some sort of anime character.
Yes. It's the year of the Valanche.
That's how it is, the year of the Valanche.
You start the Valanche-ing. So there are some really cool mashup characters, especially on the last page. But I'm not spoiling anything to say that they have the turtles as like Robins. Like they all have like their colors, but their suits are like Robin suits. So it's like they're hybrids of, and I think it's just a, it's just so, it's great. It's fun. The story was fun. The art is great.
Yeah. These are just the goddamn best. And speaking of the goddamn best, oh no, I'm really getting like some of my favorites out of the way real quick.
Yeah, we did kind of front load a little bit.
Uh-oh. So we're going to have a bunch of books that we don't like at the end.
Let's talk about that one.
I'm going to talk about this one because we've always said good things about this one pretty much consistently.
Yeah.
Ever since this team up started.
Yeah.
Oh my God, Uncanny X-Men 17. Good God, man.
It was sad.
It was very sad. There's a knockdown drag out with Cyclops and Wolverine but it's just great.
It's a death of an X-Men comic sort of, but like the story is more of like a mystery, and it's treated in a way that's kind of a little bit different than a lot of these. Like normally it's like it's an event and shocker and blah blah, but you'll never believe, and this is just kind of like what happened to this person.
It just happened,
and it's wicked sad.
Yep. It's just very sad.
So that's out. Let's hold off on this one.
Okay.
And then let's so we're gonna just kind of plow through
the Paul Scheer book Cosmic Ghost Rider Destroys the Marvel Universe. Paul Scheer from How Did This Get Made and NTSC SUV and many other things is doing a comedy take on Ghost Rider going through time and doing things to the Marvel Universe.
Yes.
And this is the third issue, and it's still silly.
It's silly.
It's full of silliness. Somebody's got a chainsaw. I like it.
Yeah. If you like Cosmic Ghost Rider being silly and crazy and Marvel history and fun and decent art.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know.
It's fun. Okay, and Champions.
Champion.
Champions, we get the return of Cyclops in the Champions.
Yeah. Because he was a kid when he was in the Cyclops.
Yes. So he,
I called them the Cyclopses.
I haven't read this. Did he remember that he was on the team?
I didn't read
it. Oh, that's super weird.
I'm sorry, I didn't read it.
I didn't either, but I've really enjoyed Champions so far. This was one that I missed, but up until this point, I've really dug Champions.
There were a lot of War of the Realms tie-ins out this week, and that is one of them.
Yes, that one claims to be, but it doesn't really look like one. Mm.
I think if it's happening in the time frame of War of the Realms, it's a tie-in.
All right. Well, let's talk about Fallen World number one.
The art was really good. Fallen World was interesting. I liked it. I read it.
Yes.
Valiant.
This is a Valiant book that is a crossover of the Rye Death's Bloodshot. And something else. Bloodshot and... Not Eternal Warrior, right?
Maybe. Something I think else. It might have been Eternal Warrior.
Maybe it's Eternal Warrior.
I'm honestly not sure. I bragged that I read it. I just, you know, I don't really...
The problem is I feel like I don't recognize the characters well enough to know if that's who it is.
Well, and they've changed some of the, like, the universe is not the one that I'm most familiar with. So I just was like, wow, this is cool art. This looks like a compelling story. It's a number one. I figured we should talk about it because it's, you know, it's cool.
And it is cool.
It looks great.
And
Adam Pollina is the artist and Dan Abnett is the writer.
Yeah, exactly. So Dan Abnett's writing a Valiant book. So that should be something that you stand up and shout about.
I like Adam. And it's great. I like Adam Pollina.
I do too.
He's good.
Dead Man Logan is continuing.
Dead Man Logan.
He continues to be nearly dead. And that's about it.
I flipped it. I mean, whatever. It's a book I don't follow, so it's Dead Man Logan. It's got okay art. It's got a story involving the old version of Wolverine.
And people are eating him.
Yeah, those Hulks are in it, I think.
The Hulks are in it, and apparently people are eating him for some reason.
Yes.
I don't really know why.
That's a recurring theme this week.
It is.
Batman.
Do you want to do this guy?
I will. I did. So Batman's been strapped to a machine having nightmares for 6 months. Well, I guess 6 issues, which is 3 months. Now he's out and he's fighting his way through an inexplicable trove of his greatest villains who he dispatches each of them in like a single page. But you know, it's got really good art. And, if you're interested in really good art of Batman punching every villain that you like, except the Joker, then Batman number 70 is for you.
Yes.
It's cool. It obviously the art's real good in it, and I'm sure the story's fine. I flipped it.
Yeah. So real quick, Goosebumps: Horrors of the Witch House is out from IDW. These
are fun.
These are always fun. The Goosebumps kids series has been just great.
Yeah.
Like they sell like hotcakes in our store.
That's cool.
And they're just fun little kid horror stories. People are dying for this stuff again, and I think there's a real opening for a new ghost, like either Goosebumps TV series or like an Are You Afraid of the Dark or something like that, because people keep looking for stuff like this, like Spook House in these books.
Yeah.
And there isn't...
Mega Ghost.
Mega Ghost. Oh, so good.
Yeah.
Love Mega Ghost.
but
one's great. It's just a silly kids haunted house. Whatever.
But it's, you know, it's like we were talking about that all ages thing where it's like, I mean, this is for kids.
Yeah,
you know?
This
so
is
maybe
definitely
not the best segue for that. let's talk about Elvira, Mistress of the Dark number 5, because that
came
out. Know what to say too much about it, except for it's Elvira and some classic-y, monster-y kind of guys.
You'll be surprised to hear that there are sexual entendres in this.
No.
Yep.
In an Elvira comic?
Yeah. I actually dug this artist.
I thought the art was pretty decent.
I'm kind
strong
of fascinated by this person. Yeah, it's really, it's different from what was going on the last time I looked at this.
Hmm.
Oh, hey, Taylor Esposito. He's lettering our comic.
Ooh, neat.
That is Dave Acosta.
Dave Acosta.
Dave Acosta. Easy. Oh, yeah, that's...
I don't know who it is.
Yeah, I know him from something else, and I can't remember what it is.
Cool.
Yeah, yeah, real nice story.
cool story, bro.
Hey, that was great.
Deadpool was incomprehensible pink. It was just colored pink so all the way pink. Through. I didn't understand any of it, and I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's got that new character that has been in all of these issues so far, and just they can't seem to get rid of him.
Hey, it's because everybody loves pink comics.
They do. Harley Quinn is a comic book.
Okay, so I singled this out to talk about it because Otto Schmidt drew it, and the art is really good. But what this storyline is
crazy.
It is crazy. It's basically, for some reason, Harley Quinn and Catwoman and some character I don't recognize are playing D&D. And then the D&D becomes a real thing that Harley Quinn is trapped inside. And so it's just this crazy, like, D&D style Harley Quinn comic. So, like, kind of like D&D interpretations of classic heroes and villains.
Wow.
And it's bonkers. But Otto Schmidt is awesome. I really, really like the art. His style is great. It's like a very kind of like animated quality to it, but like super stylized and super unique. So cool to see him on apparently a multi-issue
so
arc.
Much design work went into this book.
Yeah, like, and it's crazy because it's the story is just kind of like, huh?
This is kind of a throwaway story.
Yeah.
And then, but they went to all this trouble of like creating all these characters and doing all this world building for this like,
I have to say,
fairly small story. Wow!
So they
that's actually very cool. I would say if you wanted to pick something up in the middle, this isn't a bad one.
Yeah, this is the first
this
issue.
Isn't a bad
of,
place to start with a new Harley Quinn story.
This is the first issue of it, and they have Harvey Bullock as a Minotaur, and his name is Harvey the Bullock.
I mean, they didn't put a lot of time into the names, but the designs are beautiful.
Know, it's cool. Yeah. Ace the werewolf, you know, it's just, it was fun. And the art is just really, really, really good. It's called Role Players Part One. It's written by Sam Humphries. And it was really fun. Just kind of like a, you know, like you don't have to, like, I think that's what's really great about the Harley Quinn book these days is that it's not like, even with all the stuff that's happening and Heroes and Christmas and all that stuff, and it's like, this is just Harley Quinn being Harley Quinn, being fun, being not connected to anything, and that's what I think it's a great idea.
Agreed. Something else that's a great idea
to anything else and also great. Let's segue into a line of books.
Marvel Action Avengers. These Marvel Action books are something that I was staunchly against. If you paid attention to the podcast, I was almost downright angry whenever I'd have to order them because it's just like, why are you making me order another Spider-Man book from not Marvel? This is insanity. It seemed like absolute insanity, and I couldn't figure out where its place was in the world, and I now know where its place is in the world. It is filling an incredibly important role, even though apparently I think IDW is not doing great with them. I don't think their numbers are all that great. But I think, like, as far as things that I need in the store, this is it. This is a very specific age demographic that is not being addressed right now.
Yeah.
And it's great. It's like the 8 to 12 year old kind of demo. And it's awesome.
Yeah. So there's a Spider-Man and there's an Avengers. And the nicest thing I thought about the Avengers one is that it has, you know, the movie Avengers in it.
Right. It's got like Captain Marvel and Thor.
We took one of each one of those and gave them their own comic with like 17 characters you don't recognize. Why nag?
Yeah.
Marvel Action, both IDW Marvel kid friendly books are out and good. Amazing Spider-Man.
Oh no.
Is another Dot Who.
Awesome.
The second story in that is, oh man, so I got to talk about. So the Dot Who issue, like the first one that came, it's like, so it's the Hunted storyline, and then there's like these like extra issues because twice a month is not enough for Spider-Man. They have to put out like three or four a month.
Yeah.
They have these ones that are like 20.hu. This one is like a Vulture, like essentially like a totally throwaway Vulture story at the beginning. But then the second story is drawn by Tyler Crook and is all about the Vermin, who give that guy a comic. I love the Vermin so much. I call him the Vermin. I know he's just Vermin. I don't care. He's
like the Vermin.
He's the Vermin. And it's kind of a toss away story, but it has amazing art by Tyler Crook.
What this story tells me, and I hope is the future, the Vermin story.
Mm.
I hope this is leading towards a Vermin as a positive, like as a hero character, or at least as like a comedic hero be so foil, cool. Because
yeah.
he's obviously caged and they're tormenting him in this. So
yeah.
I don't know. He seems very sympathetic in this.
Yes.
So
I felt
pretty
for
into
him.
It.
I love him. I love the Vermin.
Here is a book that we did not do last week or the week before or whenever it actually came out. So
it's not a new.
So let's talk about this. Spider-Man Life Story number 2.
The 70s. It's a Spider-Man comic as if his life unfolded in real time, and it is so. It's like a 30-year-old Peter Parker in 1978.
Yep, that's the story.
I flipped it.
And this one?
I do love the disco ball pumpkin cover.
That cover is gorgeous.
It's a great cover.
So Major X number 3 comes out.
Yeah, and Wills Portacio, or however you actually pronounce it, did the art. So the art's like decent.
Yeah.
At this point am kind of enjoying Major X because it's just so
it
dumb.
Is, it
like,
is.
I just kind
silly.
Of am like, they're doing this. All right.
The character designs are hilarious.
Oh my God. It's cool to see it with someone who can actually draw.
It's
and
true.
It's just like that beast design. I was like, this is so bad. And then I was like looking at it. I was like, all right. Like, that's not terrible.
It's just weird. It's literally, it's like they
got,
mixed up Colossus and Beast.
Yeah, like
he's
got
the
white
little,
fur, but like red stripes.
Like the exact red stripes of Colossus's costume.
Yeah.
Like exactly the same. It's just like you just fucked up the costume.
And it's just like it's this future X-Men thing where it's like just go at it, Robbie. You know?
I just love it.
Dream big, Robbie.
Yeah. These new characters that he's created, he created one of them definitely based on Lance Priebus. Rance Priebus, because he's literally his name is
Lance
Vance Rebus.
We were laughing.
He was
about
just
that
literally like watching C-SPAN one day, and he was like, what about a superhero called Lance Priebus? Wait, I mean Vance Rebus. Perfect. Whatever, it's fun.
Hey, you know, the ideas, where do you get your ideas? It turns out C-SPAN.
Sometimes C-SPAN.
C-SPAN is where you get your ideas. Star Wars Age of Rebellion, Han Solo is out. It has Chris Sprouse art, so the art is awesome. And it is a story, you know, I don't want to say it's bad. I don't want to say it's good, because it's kind of like it's just a typical Han Solo story set during the Star Wars universe movies, the original movies, where he's like, I'm not part of the rebellion, and that's the story.
Yep.
But the art's really good, and it's a Han Solo story, and I didn't hate it.
Nice. Not hating things is great.
Not hating things is great. Can I take a moment?
Sure. I mean, how about I just do this while I have this
cut off?
And one moment is up.
All right.
Walking Dead, 191. This is a book that might be a thing.
Yeah, it
something
might.
something catastrophic happens in this that was unexpected, but obviously, in comic terms, who the hell knows how catastrophic it is?
Yeah.
I won't say any more than that, but there is a big deal event that happens in this.
Yeah, depending on what happens in the next issue, this issue could potentially be one that you want to have. I'm just going to mention some of the comics that we didn't get to bring along with us, including Punisher number 11.
And Floppy Cop.
Floppy Cop is on my list. I just didn't get to it yet. There's a Star Wars. There's a Deathstroke. Floppy Cop number 1. Keep on flopping.
Keep on flopping. I still prefer Mess with the Cop, Get the Flop. But
yeah,
okay.
That is
fine.
I mean, really, you should have been writing it.
Maybe issue 2.
Hashtag Danger from Ahoya Comics was
so,
really fun.
Yeah, Hashtag Danger, I actually kind of want to talk a little tiny bit about.
Okay.
That was a really great kind of all ages kind of deal. It was very much like a Challengers of the Unknown, kind of like people dealing with like weird cryptid stuff. They search out a Yeti. And
it's drawn by Chris Giarrusso, who did the mini Marvels.
Exactly.
And
it's done in a little bit of a an Archie's kind of style. It's different than his normal, than Giarrusso's normal G-Man kind of style.
It is still unmistakably him, but it's more of a, like a real.
Yeah, it's like, interesting.
It's not cutie little jumpers.
Yes. So I really dug it. Although great. I will say the Yeti was fucking adorable.
Yeah.
Like abysmally adorable or abominably adorable, I suppose. Anyway, so just want to say that's great. And Ahoy Comics continues to be one of my favorite companies.
Yeah.
And every time they put something new out, I always am all over it because it is. It's always smarter than every other fucking comic out there. It's crazy. They are just like on the next level of comic book stuff.
Yeah.
They are for very discerning comic fans, I think, is really the deal. It's a comic fans comic company.
Yes.
And that's it.
And it tends to not be like real superhero-y. It tends to be just like kind of, here's a great idea executed perfectly.
But if it is superhero-y, there's a reason for it. Like, yeah. I mean, they're picking up that when the Jesus comic got ditched by Image.
Yes, I cannot wait for that comic.
They picked it up.
It wasn't Image, though. It was Vertigo.
Was it Vertigo that dumped it?
DC bailed on it after Bat Penis. they got a whiff of the Bat Penis, and they're like, sorry, we're not doing your Jesus comic anymore.
That was going to be my my perfume that I was releasing. Whiff
of the Bat Penis. Can that be the title of this episode?
Whiff of the Bat Penis.
Whiff of the Bat Penis. I just want to briefly mention that you have copies of, I think it came out last week, but BPRD, Devil You Know,
yes.
number 15, which is literally the final chapter in the Hellboy saga.
So freaking
super
good.
Important. Half the issue is drawn by Mike Mignola. It is. It got me right in the heartstrings, but also was just kind of cool in a cataclysmic way.
Cataclysmic.
So now we can go back to, and actually so we've gotten through the kind of like middle of the road stuff, and we're going to talk about some of our more favorite books. Instead of doing them first, we're doing them last.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, but I'm going to talk about Justice League because that wasn't a huge favorite of mine. It was still okay. Justice League 23, they're in the sixth dimension with Mitsubishi and Batmite and all kinds of crazy stuff that I don't understand. And Prisoner X. They stepped up the art in Prisoner X.
They did.
I don't remember thinking the art was as good as it was in this issue, although I still am ready for Age of X Man to at an end.
Yeah, I think I'm also with you on the wanting this to end, but to a certain extent, this had some things that I like. Unfortunately, some of the stuff that I like is really... It's just kind of like they borrowed some things that I love from like X-23, mm-hmm. where it was like the Gabby moments were like, dude, Gabby eating breakfast with Jonathan is never not going to be awesome, but it's not your thing. Yeah. It's somebody else's thing.
Yeah.
Like those moments belong to another comic.
Yeah.
But that said, it's good.
It feels like it's building to something. There is kind of like a thing in the end where it was like, okay, like
there's
an end in sight. Also, in the realm of
I thought this was great. Like I really genuinely loved this book.
Okay, well then talk about it because I only flipped through it.
Oh my god! So this is the nerdiest name for a comic book award of all time would be. The War of the Realms, Strike Force, the Dark Elf Realm, which I can't even get out of my mouth without laughing.
Well, and it's a team of like the Punisher, She-Hulk,
Thor's mom, Blade, and Ghost Rider.
Ghost
Rider with his car, you know, so like they're all driving.
I mean,
again, I've said this before and I'll say it again. Ghost Rider with the car is the best because the Avengers can carpool. I love that they're all carpooling in his Ghost Rider car.
That is cool.
But this has some of the best like Punisher moments where Freya is like she's getting everyone together to do this crazy suicide mission.
She's
like, something's gonna happen and it's gonna be bad. And I need to talk to somebody who does terrible things all day long and still keeps their soul. And so she pulls in Castle and talks to him. And he's like, let me explain how you do it. And it's actually full of really good character moments. And I really dug it. I really dug it.
It has coloring by Matt Hollingsworth. It is written by
Brian Hill.
If you
can afford Matt Hollingsworth for your book, you probably care about it.
Written by Brian Hill, drawn by Lionel Francis Yu.
That's another
Gary
good one.
Gary Angulayan as the...
doesn't ring a bell, but...
He's like the inker that always does Lionel Yu. It looks great.
Yeah, it was really cool, and I like War of the Realms, man. I can't help
cool.
it. I think this whole series has been really, really good.
There's more War of the Realms talk to come.
Yes.
So next up.
Hit this up.
Let's do War of the Realms next.
Sure.
Number three is out, and it is continuing the War of the Realms, which is incredibly well drawn. It's a little bit fast-paced for me,
that's what I love about it.
Well, I would love it, but I feel like it's just kind of like a lot of vignettes is my only negative, but at the same, like for instance, like, here's the Strike Force,
right.
The Dark Elf realm, but it's just like one page of this, where it's like, I kind of feel like it's...
I have an entire comic book of it.
So yeah.
I will say that is my big problem / favorite part of this is that this for the first time is one of these books that I would actually recommend people read the side stories.
Yeah.
People are like, do I need to read the side stories? And I almost always say, read whatever the hell you feel like. If you really like the Punisher, read that Punisher book, whatever. But like, all these side stories are really fun, and they all are a big part of the story, and the story does go wicked fast in the main story.
Well, I guess
encapsulate
what I'm talking about with this is like issue one and issue two were really dense, but it felt like a ton of stuff happened. With number three, it feels like this is the one where they're just like, here's where all the crossovers come in.
Yes.
And they kind of just, so it's kind of like, it feels a little bit more filler than the previous two, but it's still really cool. And it's still drawn by Russell Dodiman, and it's still written by Jason Aaron. And it's good. And it'll read probably really well as a trade.
This is definitely feels like them saying, okay, by the way, we need to tell you where everybody is.
I
definitely agree with that. It felt a lot like this is a map to where everyone is in, you know, like in this world.
I'm still really looking forward to the comic where Spider-Man is. It's the Spider-Man one where he's wearing that hat. I love his hat in this.
I do too. I love him in the little Asgardian hat.
His hat is amazing.
He is wearing it in this issue.
Yes.
You do see him at some point in that issue.
I want more of it. I want him to never take it off. I want him to always wear it. I want it to continue into the Spider-Man comic. His hat is amazing.
Me too. And also,
I want an action figure of it. I want a mini mate of it.
I guarantee there will be an action figure of that.
Oh my God.
But also, I love Luke Cage and Iron Fist in this book as well.
Oh, cool.
I really dug their interactions, and they don't feel out of place. It feels like all of the characters that they've chosen are important, and they're all doing their jobs.
Yeah.
Like, it's really hard in a book of this scope to be like, this is the core of what this character is. I'm going to express who they are in words and in actions in every little tiny scene. And it just feels like all these characters get their own due. Like, I feel like you know who Iron Fist is, and he says like three lines in this book.
Hmm.
And it still is like, I know the core of this character just from what you presented. And it's just kind of a, I don't know. Jason Aaron is so goddamn good at that.
It's good. Yeah.
Yeah.
So War of the Realms number three is out. We're also going to talk about Savage Avengers, the savagest Avengers of all. This is Wolverine and the Punisher and Conan. Mainly this issue is Wolverine and Conan.
This is Wolverine fighting Conan. So it's very much like that what if.
Yeah. Yeah. What if Wolverine fought Conan? That was a what if, wasn't it?
It was.
But other stuff happens. I actually, Mike Deodato drew it. The art's good.
It's fun. It's basically a fight scene for almost the entire thing. Then they get drunk and then they do some other stuff. It's like,
yep.
I don't know what more
you spoiled the entire comic.
I don't really know what more you want out of a comic with Wolverine and Conan. I mean, honestly, I would have liked to have seen them drinking together for a little longer.
I would have liked to have seen someone drink out of that giant pool of blood.
Also, that
the entire thing revolves around a gigantic
pool
and,
of blood.
And there is a, you know, possibly red herring, but there is a big Marvel death in this that, that bummed me out.
I'm feeling red herring on it, but at
I mean,
the same time.
There's something to this character that says that it doesn't matter if he dies. So, because...
Well,
he kind of exists outside his body a lot of the time anyway. So
yeah.
That's an interesting, I don't know. I'm curious.
I could add more minutiae of comic dumbness,
but instead of spoiling
the comic, I won't.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk about my kind of like, I don't know why I liked this as much as I did.
Because it was awesome.
Well, because James Herron drew part of it. And because it was awesome. Deceased, number one.
I'm
of
surprised
six.
You liked this. I will admit.
Okay. I'm gonna so I very much dislike needlessly dark comics, and DC is like literally the king of needlessly dark publishing right now. But Deceased, I feel like, is not trying it's
not needless.
It's just this is what it is. It's
right.
just this dumb thing where the anti-life equation goes bonkers and everybody, they don't, I mean, they. It's a DC zombie comic.
It's
but,
a mutation of the anti-life equation.
Yes. The Darkseid tries to unleash anti-life via Cyborg. He cuts Cyborg's tongue out, which is rough. And hell is unleashed on the DCU, and you only kind of begin to see what's happening. However, it is written by Tom Taylor. It is drawn by Trevor Hairsine, and then the middle part is drawn by James Herron, who is one of my favorite artists ever, and he gets to draw Planet Exploding, which is so cool.
It's like, so good.
Yeah, just this whole panel, this whole page is just the planet blowing up. I imagine him being like, sweet, I get paid to do this.
Like, he's
like, imagine,
sweet,
like,
I can sell that page for a lot of money.
I get paid to do this. Like, that's my, I'm putting myself in someone else's shoes. But anyway, Deceased was, I thought it was fun.
Yeah.
It's a zombie comic. If you're tired of zombie comics, it's not going to be your thing.
But it's a different than a zombie comic.
It is, I mean, but it's basically the same thing.
But at the end of the day, it's a zombie comic.
Yeah. So I liked it.
Yeah. I didn't read, but I'm excited to hear what you think of it.
Okay, I loved this. This is called Gogore, number one. And the credits are really cool with this one because it is created, written, drawn, colored, lettered by Ken Garing. He did everything. And the art
Do
and
I
letter,
know him from something?
I don't know who he is.
Okay.
He's got kind of a Paul Grist kind of look to his artwork a little bit to me. So it's a fantasy world where a string of floating islands are populated by kind of like Tolkien-ish kind of people, and there's creatures and people and whatnot. And there's this boy, and he's got this scroll, and these cops that ride bugs are chasing him, and he rides a mole that has like flying fox abilities because it can fly between islands, and it's awesome.
This is a Golden Apple comic, right?
It's an Image comic.
It's Image via Golden Apple, I think.
I don't know what Golden Apple is.
Golden Apple, I believe, is that comic shop in California that did Blastosaurus.
Oh, okay.
If I'm not mistaken.
I liked Blastosaurus.
I liked Blastosaurus as well, and I think it's really awesome. You know, for one reason or another, I think it's really cool when comic shops make comic books. Speaking of which, tomorrow my Kickstarter goes live for Rad Wraith, and...
Yeah.
I don't know how I got that that segue in there.
That was a natural
was
one, man.
So flawless. But noon tomorrow, aka Wednesday. I guess that would be today.
Yes,
when you're hearing this,
it's today.
So
it's live right now.
So Wednesday at noon Eastern time, I guess we're in.
Yeah.
Rad Wraith will be live on Kickstarter. We have a lot of really awesome things. Go support it.
Yeah.
Christian Dabari.
Can't wait.
Simon Gao. Taylor Esposito, we're all doing it together. It's going to be great.
Going to do it. Gogore just ended up kind of turning on a dime at the end, and it was just really fun. It was probably my favorite comic of the week. I really liked it.
Awesome.
I'm going to also talk about another
holy crap.
Awesome comic. Green Lantern number 7.
a lot of this, normally I get a little bit turned off by comics that are prose, like heavy, super yes. prose heavy, because I really like dialogue. But it works when you have someone who is an amazing comic book writer doing it, like Grant Morrison and Liam Sharp on the art. So basically what is going on here is that Hal Jordan is trapped inside his power ring, which is floating in the void of space and is losing its charge. And so as he's trapped there, the world... and there is a wizard named Merwhiden, and I will point out comics minutia dumbness. Merwhiden, this is not Merwhiden's first appearance. It is a Silver Age, although he took the form of a kind of comical baby proportioned wizard man in the past. I remember him from Who's Who, not from an actual comic. So if I get the details wrong, don't shoot me. But
I'm going to.
Don't do it.
I'm 100% going to shoot you.
You better not.
You'll be sorry.
I'm going on vacation. You'll have to get a gun with a very long range because I'll be in Puerto Rico.
You'll be going on vacation with a gunshot wound.
Ouch. Anyway, I loved this.
Just a great song title.
This is like a really romantic comic book. It's very romantic. I will say that. Awesome. It is the most romantic Green Lantern comic I have ever read.
Ken Gehring, Planetoid.
Planetoid? I don't know. I didn't read
it.
He
did that thing. It was cool.
He's great.
He did Planetoid Praxis, which was a specific thing.
I don't know what it is, but either way, I would seek him out in the future. I will be looking for his work.
Oh, he also drew TMNT 51 and 52.
Huh. He's got kind of a Mike Wieringo-ish
he does.
Kind of quality, too.
I agree.
I said Paul Grist earlier, and I will stand by that as well. But if these are the kind of creators that your work is reminding people of, I think you're doing pretty good. Black Hammer 45, number 3, came out. This is the World War II era aviator team that precursed somehow the Black Hammer universe, but I don't know because I read them all together in one chunk. So I have not actually
read better.
It is written by Jeff Lemire. It is drawn by Matt Kent.
Is he Lemire or Lemire?
It's Lemire.
It is Lemire?
It's Lemire.
Okay. Thank God.
It's Lemire. Also,
guys, you heard it here. It's Lemire.
Also, Ray Fawkes is another writer on it, and Charlene Kint as well. And there's a lot. I'm just reading the cover. Anyway, it's out. Black Hammer 45. I dig it. It's like your DC Aviator World War II era stuff, like Enemy Ace or pre World War II, the Balloon Buster. Remember the Balloon Buster?
I do.
Yeah, he was like World War One era.
Yes.
Anyway,
whenever they were using Zeppelins, non-ironically,
he was busting those balloons. That guy. Meet the Skrulls, number 4, is out.
Meet the Skrulls.
I've expectorated.
How unexpectorated.
Oh, yay. Hey. Expectorated. Man, Rob Liefeld, are you listening? Expectorated.
Oh.
The Expector. It's right there.
Expector.
The Expector. I did it for you. I did the work for you. You don't even have to think. Don't even have to try.
He's just a ghost that looks like Deadpool. Fuck it. Print some checks.
It's literally just a booger on a page with eyeballs. Google eyes. I'm the Expector. Meet the Skrulls.
That was already done. His name is Dupe, and he's awesome.
No, Dupe is not a booger.
Dupe is a
living, breathing character.
He's a floating blob of something.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. All right. So the Expector is a multi-pouched, high-coiffed, shoulder pad wearing.
Very
he's got
buff.
12 ponytails.
He's got so many ponytails.
And you never see his feet, and he spits all over you. Expector. There it is. Right
I'm into
there.
It.
He's got 14 ponytails. Meet the Skrulls, number 4, by Robbie Thompson and Nico Henrichon. A really cool cover by Marcos Martin. I like this comic, and I didn't read it because I like it. This is the thing about the podcast. I feel bad because it's like, I don't read the ones that I like because I save them for when I'm at home.
I did read this one, and it's sad.
No.
This whole series is, leading up to kind of a bummer. I don't have a, you know, I don't have a good feeling about the ending of this family. So who knows? But this one had some little sad moments.
Mm. Oh man. And, we're about to talk about the last comic on our list.
Maybe not the best, but still pretty damn good.
I liked it.
Yeah, me too.
I really liked it. But I do want to mention very quickly, they just solicited the Walmart Batman comics are going to be in comic shops.
What? Book shops?
Finally.
Why would you do that?
I cannot wait to start
talking. Comic shops are so dumb.
No, they're not. They're awesome. The Batman Universe series that's been coming out at the stupid Walmart, and I don't have to go there anymore to get this fucking comic anymore.
I'm so glad we're going to be getting that Swamp Thing comic.
The Swamp Thing comic was written by Brian Azzarello. It's not awesome.
But I love Swamp Thing, and I kind of just don't care.
It is drawn by Greg Capullo. I honestly, the Swamp Thing comic didn't wow. There was another Swamp Thing comic that was written by someone else that probably is better. But the Batman Universe is the best Batman comic, like... Everything negative you've heard me say about a Batman comic, I will like completely reverse course when I can talk about those.
Awesome.
Anyway, whatever. That's in solicitations of the future. For now, Bendis with fill-in artists on Young Justice number 5. But the fill-in artists are good quality. It's Chris Anka, John Timms, and Doc Shaner.
Oh, man.
Doc Shaner only does like a big pinup in it, which, I mean, whatever. That's fine.
He does something.
But really cool, actually. Really cool. It's kind of like the penultimate-ish around when they're doing this Gem World thing. So the ongoing storyline. But there's a huge Tim Drake and Stephanie Brown kind of thing. And it involves Tim Drake remembering, kind of like a Rebirth style thing, where Wally West is like, all of a sudden people remember that he's around.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, here's Tim Drake remembering some stuff that has not been mentioned in, like, it kind of explains a little bit of like, huh, why did, you know, like the world is kind of coming back to the way it should be.
Bendis loves that stuff. Didn't he do oh my God, that fucking Marvel Superman,
Sentry.
Was that Bendis?
Did he write the original?
Yeah.
No, the original was written by Fudge Me.
I love that guy.
Who wrote it? It was, I know.
Okay. So it wasn't him.
No.
But he used him that amazing Avengers run.
Yes.
Which, by the way, read that if you haven't. Good God. Some of my favorite Avengers comics of all time. That run is so fucking good.
Is it Paul Cornell? Is that right? No.
You know what? I think it might actually be.
This is going to... I'm Googling it right now. You Google talk. That.
Okay, so while I have some time, I'm going to give a shout out to Punks and Panels podcast, who I did last week. I don't know when that's going to be released, but those guys are super cool. I really appreciate them paying attention to what we're doing. And that was awesome. Yeah, nice people. And, you know... They're talking about punk rock and comic books, so of course I'm totally stoked.
Paul Jenkins!
Damn it!
Thanks, Google. You told me about this podcast. Now I want to listen to it.
Yeah.
Never.
Very cool.
I'm going on vacation. I'm going to listen to it.
They've pulled in, you know, the Matt Maguires and those kinds of people of the world. And,
the baseball player?
Mark Maguires and... yes.
This is how much I know about baseball and punk rock.
Raleigh Fingers is there? Yes, my brain is not.
Who's Matt Maguire?
He did. He's from Guar.
Oh, sick.
Nice. They've got. What else did they do? They had a bunch of cool people. In association with the Orgasmageddon comic, and
in association with the Children's Television Network
and Orgasmageddon. So awesome things.
Can I talk about a couple of trade paperbacks that have been released this week?
Am I cutting you off? No.
Okay. Big one for me. You better get them before I get them. Copra volume.
We've got volumes 1 through 4.
Round one. They're all coming out from Image now, which is just like the regular volumes, but they just have Image stickers on them. Hopefully those stickers come off.
Yes.
And if they don't try to get them off because you'll ruin your comic. Anyway, Copra is amazing. Michael Fifa. I love that book. But one thing that I am, it reminded me of something that I love. There's a Satchel Paige Striking Out Jim Crow by James Sturm and Rich Tomasso. So a couple of things on this note. I very much like well-done biographical comics. So Satchel Paige, very interesting. James Sturm did a baseball-themed graphic novel a few number of years ago that I absolutely love, called The Gollum's Mighty Swing.
Yes.
Which I love, love, love. So
absolutely
not incredible. A huge baseball player or fan, but I'm interested in history. In the Gollum's Mighty Swing is sort of history, but also like a golem that plays baseball.
Yes.
And Sturm drew that one too. This is drawn by Rich Tomasso, who did recently
Spy Seal.
He did Spy Seal. He did Dry County. He did all books that I loved. And he also has written stuff. I think he did Dick Tracy, whatever. He's
he did,
awesome.
Yeah.
So that's out. Copra's out. You looks like you just hit the mother load of Gerard Way graphic novels, because
yes.
You have Umbrella Academy and The Killjoys.
Yes.
We just
restocked, because now like we had the same five copies of Umbrella Academy for the last 6 years.
Huh.
And then and now we sell like 10 copies of each one of them a month.
Yeah, well,
like
they were sold out everywhere. It was like, I remember reading like articles about how they were out of print.
Yeah.
And like, because the show is so popular, which is awesome.
It went zero to 1,000 in like that.
Yeah.
So super cool. I mean, I'm glad that they're selling, because they're great.
Yeah, they are great.
Even they were kind of hard to recommend, because it's like, kind of go for Invisibles first, usually. And
I mean, yeah,
but yeah,
I don't know,
but it's its own thing, and it is definitely not, it's not an Invisibles ripoff. It's just, it seems like I would sell Invisibles first back in the day, and now Umbrella Academy sells like crazy.
Also, there's a new edition of Kingdom Come.
There is, and it has a really ugly cover, and I hate it.
Mm. I
like the old cover. I don't like these like big all over design covers that they're doing. DC did this to a couple of things in the last couple of months, and it's like they look like promotional items. They don't look like real books. It's not great.
I mean Kingdom Come for me is a weird thing where, like, and we don't need to get like super in the weeds on it, but like I know it's a incredibly
and remember that it is my favorite DC comic.
Yeah, I know. Everybody loves it. Like, to me, it's just like the thing I don't want in a comic. Like, it's
Understand.
And I don't like,
I understand, but it is,
everybody's standing around talking. It's like, it's just everybody standing around or flying around talking.
I agree. But I thought that I felt like
that they kind of like continued, like I liked the Mark Waidiness of it, where it was like, okay, like, he's projecting his own kind of fanboy, like DC fanboy kind of ideas about like what the future would be like. So I was into that, and it felt kind of hopeful.
I feel like,
and I liked that it was like kind of anti things being
anti-90s.
Yeah.
I love the fact that it was just kind of a metaphor for the way that things were going in the 90s, and how it was going to, it's basically a metaphor for ruining the comics industry. It's like,
so what
you
you're
know,
telling
if
me
these,
is I need to revisit Kingdom
if
Come.
These murder, if these like murder heroes that keep popping up
murder.
Are the only ones
yeah,
that are.
Yeah, because it's like Magog, and he's like basically Cable.
Yeah, and he basically, he executes the Joker. He's like, yeah, the Joker did a bunch of bad shit. How about I just chop his head off? Fuck this guy.
Yeah.
And then they're like, but you can't do that. And then everybody gets really into this idea of these murderous heroes a la the 90s. And
I mean, he's
and
literally
Superman,
Cable, right? Like, I mean, that's
basically
like the design.
And Superman is like, well, fine, I'm just going to go back to being a farmer, and then everybody needs him again. And it's like, I don't know, man. Kingdom Come, it like tugs at my heartstrings.
Okay.
I love that book.
Challenge accepted.
Okay.
I will reread it, and we will do a special edition.
I think
of,
we should, because
I would be
all about it. And it's also like a Where's Waldo of every event in the DC universe ever. Like, yeah. Every little tiny TV screen in Times Square that you see, it's like, there's Turtle Boy, and there's, like, you know, like, all these crazy things all over the place.
So I might
they're
be
at that
even...
diner, and they're just, like, every single item in that diner relates to some archaic, yeah, like, Silver Age, Golden Age event in the DC universe. It's right. So cool.
Challenge accepted. I feel like I could bring a unique perspective to this, because I've never read it, and I just...
Really? Dude, read it.
Come on. Like I said, challenge accepted.
Awesome.
We'll do it.
This is great. I will reread it because I am very excited about
it. You got to lend me a copy, though. I
will.
I don't own one.
I absolutely will. I'll lend you my fancy copy that I have on the shelf over there.
Fancy copy
I have,
on the shelf.
I think I have a nice deluxe hardcover.
Oh, my God. How heavy is it?
Nah,
I
got to
carry it home.
It's one of the little ones.
And I already have a bunch of comics.
It's the $50 one, not the like $100 like big thing.
Cool. And when I say I have a bunch of comics, it's like I literally always walk around with like a hardcover Felix the Cat compendium in my backpack. And like all kinds of other, like I have like issues of Love and Rockets and like
you have so many issues.
I do have issues with Love and Rockets. How could such a comic be so good? And I have never read it.
That's true.
I actually, that's another one I want to. I have a stupid heavy Luba collection.
Oh, wow.
That
yeah.
someone lent me that I've never returned to them. And I, because I'm a bad person, don't ever lend me anything. Don't lend me your Kingdom Come.
Don't anybody lend me anything either. I still have Damien's copies of the Friday the 13th Blu-rays.
What?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, I spent all weekend at Chiller with Damien. That was really weird.
Wow.
That was kind of fun hanging out with all these people. We went out and we.
You met that sword guy. Or the ninja guy.
I met Shokasugi, which was fucking nuts. But also, we went and we stayed at the bar until like 3 in the morning.
Whoa.
But we were just like hanging out there. Like Billy Zane was there. And
no
like,
shit.
So, like,
I love
so
Billy
many
Zane.
Weird people.
He's my favorite villain.
It was like it was the weirdest. And I was just like, I just want to go over there and talk to him about critters. He's not going to want to talk about critters.
Oh, man. He'd want. See, this is the thing is that, like, I think, and I mean, maybe I'm projecting, but, like, if I had done something, like, and then I did, like, a bunch of other things, and those are the things that everybody, like, Billy Zane, everybody wants to talk to him about The Mummy or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, you know, was he in The Mummy?
He was in Titanic. He was in
the bad
Phantom.
Villain.
He was in.
He was The Mummy. He was the scorpion guy in The Mummy. Not The Rock, but, like, the.
Oh, maybe.
I think so.
No. That was that other guy.
Of? Billy Zane. He's a bad guy in something. Really? Turns into bees or something. I don't know. Whatever.
Maybe he does. He was in Tombstone. He was the fancy theater guy in Tombstone.
I'm your Huckleberry.
He was my Huckleberry. Yeah. No, I was just
Billy
like,
Zane's your Huckleberry.
I was hanging out with the horror people, and we were all just kind of in a row. But Billy Zane was hanging out by himself. And so I was
But he was hanging out. He was like, God, I wish those cool horror guys would
he
come
was
over
literally,
and talk to me about that
that's,
Critters
that's
movie
what's
I
so
made.
Fucked up is he was like literally like 5 or 10 feet away from me the whole night.
Yeah.
And I was like, I just don't want to bother him. But man, I want to go talk to Billy Zane. Jesus. Yeah. Oh, well. I did chase him down the stairs, though. So that's why I felt bad.
Wait, what?
So he doesn't use the elevators. And so I was coming out of my room in the hotel. And I was right behind him. And so I was just kind of coming down the stairs. And he started accelerating in that way that he's like, I don't want to talk to this person. And then and then somebody like wheeled a cart into this tiny little stairwell. And it blocked him off. And he was just like, oh, God damn it. Like
I'm
he was
stuck.
Like, oh, I'm stuck with some fucking fan that's going to talk to me about Titanic. And I was like.
And then meanwhile.
I didn't say
like,
shit.
I just want to talk to you about.
I just want to talk about Critters.
Billy Zane.
God damn it. He was the hunky boyfriend in Critters in the first one.
Is he the guy that gets shot in the mouth with a flare gun in that movie about the boat?
I have no idea what you're talking about. I hope he is.
Oh,
he
man,
was
what is
he
that
was in
movie?
Demon Knight.
No, there's a movie where there's like a they shoot him in the mouth with a flare gun. It's Billy Zane, I swear to God. What is that movie? Yeah, that's
Dead
Billy
Clam?
Zane, right?
No idea.
Dead Calm. I'm pretty sure it is. And I'm pretty sure they kill him by shooting him in the mouth with a flare gun.
There you go. Well, you ruined that movie for me.
Sorry. It's a pretty cool effect, actually. Even if you know it's coming, you're like, whoa. They really spent some time on the effects on it.
Awesome.
His face lights up.
Just like in Dread. Yeah.
Oh,
Hot man. Shot.
I have not seen. Wait, the Stallone Dread?
No, the new one.
Oh yeah,
the really good one.
Yeah, there's a part where they shoot a guy with a flare gun.
Like the first big kill scene. He takes a hostage and then he just says, "Yeah, try it again, hot shot," or something like that. And he's like, "What did you say?" I said, "Hot shot," and then just fires the thing into his mouth.
Oh my god, I love Carl Urban.
Oh Jesus, so good.
So much. So, he's so great. And why did they not ever make a sequel to that?
Might be my favorite superhero or comic book movie of all time.
So my
might be there.
My recall of movies is atrocious, but I would say it is definitely top three for me.
Yeah,
I loved it. And
it's in there.
I watched it and I was like, why the fuck did I not see this in IMAX 3D?
Oh, it was so good. I saw it in IMAX 3D.
They invented a 3D camera for the movie.
It was so awesome.
From scratch.
It was so awesome.
I wish. Could we get them to get it?
Maybe.
Do one of those
maybe
specials,
it'll come back.
Like when they do a special showing.
Oh, that'd be
We've
awesome.
Been yammering a
yeah.
lot.
Well, you know, people can stop listening like 15 minutes
oh,
ago.
Yeah.
It's fine.
You're empowered.
Yeah, guys, you can just shut it off. You don't need to listen to us talk about nothing. Anyway, guys.
We're talking about so much cool stuff.
But anyway, Rad Wraith, tomorrow yeah. or today, depending yeah. on when you're listening to this, or last week if you're really late listening to it. Either way, it's probably still up, and give me some money or you know, repost it or something.
Finance
it would be awesome.
The making of comics.
I'm very excited about this book, and I think it's awesome.
Now
so.
Is your opportunity
yeah.
to become part of the machine.
I love it. All right, guys. Have a good night.
Bye.